And we thank the Lord for him and the impact he's had on this church and other churches around the world. I appreciate your pastor so much and his wife and children. They're very, very special to us. This has never happened to me before. I've never had two surgeries, you know, spine surgery and shoulder surgery, and then lay off preaching. I've preached many times feeling bad, but I always feel pretty good when I start preaching. But you never know what's going to happen to the body and then get a head cold. It kind of, this is a real test. But I determine that if I'm going to be any place but home, this is where I decide to be. And they have spoiled us to death. And we love the family, love the church, and appreciate so much that God will bless in a special way. I have a pretty heavy schedule. I'm back on the West Coast next week, then in Denver, Colorado. I was not even allowed to think about canceling coming here. I was told, you have no choice, Dad. And there's no way. And, you know, my wife as well, this is the only one of the trips that she flying with me and coming here. So obviously this is a very, very special place for us. And we certainly love you all. And thank you all for your prayers as well. I was thinking this pastor was talking about missions. I know his heart. You can sense his heart for mission. I served from 1989 to 2009 on the board of BIMI. I was chairman for the last 5 years, interviewed, heard testimonies of missionaries every June, every December, hundreds of missionaries over the years. And my heart was broken many, many times when I listened to missionaries. We don't have as many going as we need to have going, but the sad thing is that we have those that want to go and can't go because we're not providing and sending them. I mean, you ask one of these missionaries, they don't get into every church. They pick up the phone and call or send an email, and sometimes they have to travel thousands and thousands of miles to be able to get into a local church. And years ago, I learned, and the responsibility is the local church produces servants. If the local church produces servants who will serve in the ministry of the local church, God will call missionaries. And if we cannot be good servants in the local church where we're serving, we're not going to be a good mission church in getting missionaries around the world. So I hope you pay attention to those video presentations and listen to those testimonies and think about where these people came from. They came out of a local New Testament church, and I guarantee you, before God ever called them to go to the mission field, they were great servants in the church where they were serving. And the idea of a missions conference is not to come up with something new. It's just to remind us why we're here. You ever hear, you hear the missionaries talking about, I want to go and preach the gospel and start a local New Testament church and train nationals. You hear that thing, local New Testament church? They understand that the church changes communities because it keeps reproducing servants that'll go around the world and leave their country, leave their hometown, and that's what it's all about. It's just about being a servant. And if you get nothing else out of a missions conference, you ought to be the best servant that you can be in your local church, because you're helping that local church to do what God has commissioned and commanded it to do. And I know you have good servants here, and that's why you have such a heart for missions, and you sacrifice and come to conferences and work all day and give and do all the things. And I trust that God will bless in a very, very special way. I take your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And once you find your place, if you are physically able to stand, I'd like to read just a few verses from 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Again, Jeanette and I are thankful for Shadow Mountain Baptist Church and what you're doing for the cause and what you mean to us personally. And we certainly love you folks and love the opportunity that God's given us to be able to be here in your conference. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having beloved of this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the family, the PAC family, and what they presented to us, another part of the world that needs good Bible-believing local New Testament churches to be able to be in those communities, to be able to reach people, to help evangelize the world, and pray you'll bless them. Thank you for what we've learned this week and what we've, our hearts have felt, what our eyes have seen, and just challenges us to be able to be the best that we can be where we're serving the Lord. And I thank you for this local church. Thank you for a church that has a missions conference and take time and make sacrifices to be able to challenge its people to get involved in God's program. Now thank you for those who've come out each night and here tonight, and I pray you'll bless in a very special way, bless the children, and I pray that you'll take me as your servant. I pray that you'll give me physical strength, spiritual strength, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. When Paul wrote 2 Timothy, it is believed that he was in his second imprisonment, about to die, about to be beheaded, for the simple reason of being committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know that Paul was, and I believe, the greatest missionary we find any place in the Bible. He's an old man now, and you picture this in prison. And I would imagine, I've never been in prison. I was in jail for about 45 minutes. That scared me to death. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with prison. But this great man of God that had been preaching and seen a lot in his life, now he's sitting there by himself in prison, and he begins to think. I fly a lot, I travel a lot, and sometimes when I'm traveling, I think. I've been in ministry for 38 years and preaching and met people of all walks of life, and you do a lot of thinking. And I don't know of anything I think any more about than people that God has allowed to be saved and baptized, be a part of our local church. And I've seen all kinds of people. And by the way, every church is the same way. If we had all the people that we won to Christ and disciple and stay in the church, can you imagine what we can do for the world? So oftentimes as a preacher, and I think a lot, I think sometimes at night, and maybe I don't sleep as well as I should because I'm always pondering about people as I travel. You think about people that you worked with and people that was in your church and when the church was smaller and people here, and you think about people that used to be in there. They're not there anymore. Well, picture Paul in prison and thinking about the people that he had worked with in his missionary endeavor. We find here that Paul did what we ought to be doing today. Paul realized that he was one man, but to do the work of God, it took people. And by the way, it's a beautiful picture to see that God uses people. God wants to use people to be able to reach the world. In Romans 16, he mentions more than 25 men and women who served with him in this church planting endeavor. So he's thinking about them. Three names that he mentioned several times in the Bible were the names we find in him, Demas, Mark, and Luke. Now picture him in prison, an old man, he's about to be beheaded, and his mind is focused on these three men and what they had meant to him. They had served with him in this church planting ministry. Each of them now had gone a little bit in a different way, and I would imagine as he thought about one, he remembered certain things. As he thought about the other one, he remembered certain things. As he thought about Luke, who was still there, he began to remember certain things. And that's kind of what it is, because you'll find out as a pastor, and I'm sure your pastor has done that. I've pastored 30 years and been in my church 6 years, and I thought about a lot of things. You've seen all kinds of people come into local church. And I've found as a pastor, and I'll talk about Crossroads Baptist Church, sometimes the people that have brought the most joy to you sometimes hurt your heart the most in a local New Testament church. And by the way, that's the way it all is. But when you think about the fact, as a pastor, my job and my responsibility is to take that man, woman, boy, and girl and mend him in such a way that he or she would become what God wants him to be. Nothing moves a pastor anymore. Nothing has moved me anymore. I'm not moved by money. I'm not moved by gifts. I'm thankful for all of those things. But when I see a sinner saved by the grace of God, get baptized, join a local church, and give himself and his family to the work of God, that's shouting ground. And also when you see that person not be what God wants him to be, that also brings grief to a man's heart. Paul was thinking about them. These three men give a portrait of the kind of servants that we find in every local New Testament church. When Paul thought about Demas, he thought about his service. Then he thought about where Demas was and what he was doing, and it moved him emotionally. When he thought about Mark, he thought about how Mark served, and he thought about what Mark is doing now, and it moved him. When he thought about Luke, he thought about all that Luke had meant to his ministry. And when he thought about what Luke was doing there, it moved him. He's in prison, old in age. But his memory is upon those who served Almighty God. When I think about the local New Testament church, when I think about, as we talked about, the mission God's given the church, when I think about the plan that he's given the church, and when I think about the promise he's given the church, when I think about the power that he's made available to get the job done, and then we come to the fact, as we talked about, God says, I want to advance it by the people of God. I need the people of God. I died for the people of God. I want to use the people of God. I'm God. I created the world. I could use angels. I could have the rocks cry out, but nothing moves the heart of God than when people give their life to serve and reach a world that Jesus died for. Amen. And we talk about the fact of what can I give to advance that. I give myself to Christ. I give my support to the church that is commanded to do the job. I want to give my substance that the missionaries may get on the field. That's what I want to do. That's what a mission conference ought to bring or do in my heart to help me get to where God wants me to be. And then I think about, as we're advancing the cause, I think about the kind of servants that are in a local church, and every single servant who gets involved in God's work, what you do or what you don't do will have an impact on how that cause is advanced. And I want to speak for a few moments on the subject tonight. Three servants that are in every local church, and how you serve. I don't mean from the beginning when you can shout, I'm glad I'm saved. But I'm talking about as you get older, as you serve, as you keep going, when the trials come and the difficult time, we don't lose our purpose. I'm still there to help my church advance the cause. Amen. To keep people out of hell. And what I decide to do determines how well that church advances the cause. And I want you to listen for a few moments and think about Paul as he thought about the sermon. This is an experienced man, the best church planner you'll find in all the Word of God. And he's thinking for a few moments about those servants who serve with them. And I want you to look at these three men, and I want you to think for a few moments. Do I identify with Demas? Do I identify in some way with John Mark? Do I identify with Luke? I mean, all three of these were servants, great servants of God. But Paul is thinking about not just their beginning, but he's thinking about where they are right now and the impact they had on the cause of Jesus Christ. Three kinds of servants in the local church, this organism that God's commanded to reach the world. Every church has some Demases, Every church has John Marks, and every church, thank God, has some Lukes. Otherwise, the church couldn't be what God would have it to be. And let's look at these three servants and see if we identify in any way with them and think about this, how I perform my service in a local church will determine how well we advance the cause of reaching the world. The first man he talks about here, I want to talk about, is a man called Demas. He said in verse number 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Now I call Demas a renegade servant. You say, "Pastor, that's a hard word, Brother Baldwin. Call him a renegade." Well, let me explain to you what this renegade, because every church has renegades. Every single church, when it comes to service in God, we perform like renegades. If we had every renegade in every local church giving of his time, giving of his talent, giving of his treasure, we'd have more missionaries on the field, more money given, we'd reach more people, we'd have more soul winners. Demas was a renegade. Let me explain something before you say, what a bad way to be a renegade in the church. Let's look at what he did. In Colossians 4:14, don't turn there, and Philemon 24, he mentions Demas as a great servant of God. When Demas was working with Paul, he simply met these, he had these qualifications. He was a worshiper of Christ. He was a worker in the church. He walked consistently and witnessed courageously. I've lived long enough, 41 years as a Christian, pastored for 36 years. I've seen men, women, boys, and girls come to the Crossroads Baptist Church, get saved, get baptized, get on fire for God. I mean, they worship Jesus Christ. They work in the church. They walk consistently, witness courageously, and a pastor would get up and say, "What a servant of God." And you can do a lot with that kind of a person. Demas was a respectable person in the church that worked, witnessed, worshiped, and walked for God with the Apostle Paul, the great church planter. We see his respectable position, but I want you to notice his regretful problem that he had. Here's a problem that's destroying the work of God in our local church. We get people to get on fire for God. We get people to worship Christ. We get people to witness. We get soul winners. We get people to give. We get people to say, "I'll go." We get people to give testimonies. They're on fire for God, and they have this respectable position in the local church that is helping the church to reach the world. And then for some reason, they have this regretful problem that's hurting the work of God to reach the world. And notice this problem he had. He said in verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica." Now here's a man that worshiped Christ with Paul. He gives testimony of that. Worked in the churches. "Paul, let's go out and start a church. Let's go out and win people to Jesus Christ." I mean, he witnessed courageously. Well, it wasn't easy back at that time. And walked consistently in the work of God. But a point in his time, he did something that you see happen all the time. He developed a regretful problem that started with loving the world. Loving the world, and here's what he did. Things in the world became more important to him than the things of God. Now, let me give you a pattern, and I'm old enough and been around long enough that I've seen this in all walks of life. I've seen people that were in my church for 17 years, some of the best givers, some of the best soul winners, some of the best prayer warriors, and all of a sudden they start loving the world. And when you love the world, you'll leave the work and look for something the world is offering where years ago you thought you had the best when you had what God offered. And we failed to understand. God didn't just save me to send me to heaven. God saved me and put me in a local church. God gave me time. God gave me talent. God gave me treasure because God wanted me to help reach a world. And when I love the world, I leave the work. And before I know it, I'm looking for wealth some other place. I become a renegade, and that's what Demas did. Oh, years ago when I read this, as a young Christian, you know, when a church didn't get to where it is today, and you saw people that gave generously and sacrificially, and then you see that person start getting their children that they used to want God to raise them up to be missionaries and to be preachers, and all of a sudden they want their children now to be superstars. I had a deacon one time, was a great soul winner, great giver, great man of God, the love, the work of God, and all of a sudden his kid became a good soccer player, and all of a sudden he wanted to his child to become a great soccer player, and church required too much time to teach a Sunday school, too much time to do this, and it's slipping way away, and money that was given to missions all of a sudden became money he wanted to put in sports. And before you knew it, that fellow became a renegade and started loving the world, left the work. And you know what suffers when that happens? The cost for reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Demas was a renegade. Every church, as sad as it is, have renegades. I'm not talking about people that are bad. I'm talking about people that get excited. I'm talking about people that work. I'm talking about people that witness. I'm talking about people that work in the church. I'm talking about people that teach. But the devil is so busy that he tries to lure people away because he wants to stop the work of God. And it behooves all of us to say, let me tell you, some time is getting short. God help me. I'm on fire for God. Don't let me ever become a Demas because I know my purpose is to give what I have of my time, talent, and treasure to help my church reach the world. Amen. Paul said, the great church planner, Paul said, in my last days, I'm about to die. I wish I could say about Demas what I said about him in Philemon, what I said about him in Colossians, but I can't say that. He's left. And there's an emptiness there. There's something missing there that he used to do. There's not a pastor in a church today that cannot say he remembers a time when this person or that person worshiped God, witnessed, walked, went soul winning. But all of a sudden, they left the work, loved the world, and they're looking for wealth some other place where they used to say Jesus was the most important person in my life. Demas has forsaken me. Then he thought about Mark, John Mark, and what Mark meant to him now. He said in verse number 11, only Luke is with me, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now I call Demas a renegade. He left the work because he loved the world and looked for wealth some other place. In the modern day, we'd call him a church hopper. He always finds some excuse now to justify why he doesn't do what he used to do, so he tries to find something, some other place to replace what he used to enjoy where he had it. So I call him a renegade. Now, Mark, I call a runaway. There's something amazing about Mark. I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 12 for just a moment and let's learn a little bit about Mark. First of all, Mark, when he was with Paul, was very, very resourceful. He would be a very resourceful Christian. Notice in Acts chapter 12, in verse number 12, some things about Mark. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Here's a resourceful fellow to the local church. Here's a man that has prayer meeting in his house. I mean, obviously he loved God, and obviously he loved the work of God, and obviously he loved Paul. He has prayer meeting in his house. Verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And notice this, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, this guy was so resourceful that when Paul and Barnabas went on the first missionary journey, they took Mark with them. I mean, he was something special. Hey, wait, the Holy Ghost of God has reached down in the church and called us to be missionaries. Guess who we're going to take? That fellow we used to have prayer meeting in his house. We want him to go with us. And Mark went along with him because he was very resourceful. Turn over to Acts chapter 15. All of a sudden something happened. This resourceful servant now becomes rebellious. We find here in Acts chapter number 15, in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them to Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Now, what happened? First missionary journey, they take with them John Mark. They had prayer meeting in his house. But all of a sudden, for some reason, the next time around, he became rebellious. Apparently, it was pretty easy on the first trip, but when it came time where he had to sacrifice or do some other things, he became rebellious, and Paul didn't take him. You see, he went back home to mama because of difficult times. We find oftentimes that sometimes we find servants who are giving of themselves for the work of God. We get excited when it's easy. But you, all of a sudden, you find out, boy, see, you know, you get saved, and you find out, boy, heaven's a great place to go, and I'm going to heaven. And all of a sudden, you get into a local church, you feel like, you say, I got to work, I got to give, I got to be holy, I got to tithe, I got to sacrifice the missions, I got to go to mission conference, and all of these things. And all of a sudden, things get a little tough, and we become a little bit rebellious. We stop giving, we stop going, we stop witnessing, we stop all of these things, and we run away from things we used to think to be the greatest thing in the world. I could spend time telling you list of people over the years of all walks of life, people who served years in the local church, people who have given generously to the work of God. One little thing comes into their life and causes them to run away from what they thought was the best thing that ever happened in their life. And they run away. They stop witnessing. They stop giving. They stop praying. They stop going to church, not realizing that when I run away, I'm slowing down the gospel being advanced around the world. And I run away. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy. And I want to show you something exciting about John Mark that I've seen personally in church that I pastored for years. He ran away. He was resourceful, became rebellious. But then I want you to notice this restoration. Know what Paul's saying? Back to Paul. In prison, about to die, doing a lot of thinking. Demas has forsaken me. John Mark ran away. But here's what I want you to do. In my last days, I want you to go find John Mark. Because John Mark, who was resourceful, became rebellious and ran away, has now been restored. Once again, he can be greatly used of God. You see, John Mark had a little taste of what was good. If you ever had a little taste of serving God, you have a little taste of giving your time and talent and treasure, have a little taste of Jesus being number one, and all of a sudden something happened in life that caused you to run away, stop doing what you used to do, and you come to a point in your life where all of a sudden we return and get right with God and get back in the church and get received by the local church. I've seen people who were resourceful at the beginning, ran away, came back, and was more resourceful than they were the first time. Because you know what? We serve a God of second chances. We serve a God who forgives and forget and says, somehow you allowed things in life to take you away from the best thing that I have for you. Don't you understand? When you give, you're laying up treasure in heaven. When you're going for me. And when you let things and people cause you to run away, there's a God in heaven says, I can still use you. I can still use. Paul says, bring Mark. Bring Mark. Bring Mark. I want to use him. Mark can be used in the ministry. And maybe every once in a while we'll find some people who get on fire for God, get a little rebellious for some reason or another, or get changed by the world, or something bothers them. They run away from what they used to do all the time. There's a God in heaven that says, I still want to use people. And when my people are restored, I've got a work for them to do, because there's still a world that's lost without Jesus Christ. Paul thought about Demas. He's a renegade. Broke his heart. Broke his heart. You know, they're working side by side. Broke his heart. He thought about John Mark. How resourceful he used to be. And when he ran away, it broke his heart. But it brought joy to his soul when John Mark came back and was once again being used of God. We have renegades that stop the advancement of the gospel around the world. We have runaways that stop the work of God. We have runaways who come back and get on fire for God. That's a local New Testament church. But then he had a third guy he thought about. And notice what he says here. Only Luke is with me. I call Demas a renegade. He loved the world. You love the world enough, you'll leave the work. You'll look for wealth some other place. John Mark ran away, but one time he was resourceful. He got rebellious. And by the way, let's don't all look all pious. We as Christian people and local church can get rebellious. Yes. But we can also get restored. When something moves me to tell me why I'm here, what God wants to do in my life. But old Luke wasn't like that. Old Luke was the kind of person that says this, my salvation is so good, there's nothing out there that's better.
Yes,
amen. I'll stay with him from the beginning. If he can provide heaven for me, then he can make a little bit of heaven while I'm walking through this crazy world. You look at his life, he said, only Luke is with me. Look at Acts chapter 16, and let's see where a couple things about Luke, and then we'll close. You know, Luke, the author, the leading of the Holy Spirit, recorded here the book of Acts. And I want you to notice when Paul went on the Macedonian trail here to plant churches. And Luke is writing this story, and I want you to notice what he says beginning in verse number 7. Acts chapter 16,
verse number 7. And notice the pronoun. Notice how he writes. Now, Luke is recording what's going on in Paul's church planting ministry. He's the Acts of the Apostles, recorded by Luke. Dr. Luke is now writing what took place. He says in verse number 7, after, notice the second word, they. He's writing about them. He's taking note of what's happening. He's observing this church planting ministry and Paul and his workers. Luke said, I'm going to record this. He said, after they were come to Mysia. Notice the word, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered or forbid it them not. Verse number 8. And they, talking about them, passing by Mysia, came down the Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul. He's observing all of this in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, here's what Luke heard, talking to Paul. Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, notice how the pronoun changed. Immediately, we, all of a sudden, no longer it's they. He said, immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called what? Us, for to preach the gospel unto them. Here's a man just observing, keeping record of what was going on. Here's what they're doing. But all of a sudden, he heard a vision, and he realized something. Once he heard the cry, responded to the call, obeyed the command, and says, it's not just them,
yes,
it's us. You know what he did? He started strong. You to read over in chapter number 27 and 28, and you read verse after verse, they got caught in a storm. And every place that Luke recorded, he said, we, us, we. When the ship broke up, in 28 verse 2, they got on the island there, Melita. He said, we. Here's a man that started strong, but you follow him all the way to where Paul is in jail, you find out he stayed during the storm. He got a hold of something we need to get a hold of.
Yes.
This thing about serving God is not something I start and stop when the storms come.
Right. Here's
Luke says, I got a dose of something that caused me to start strong, and when the storms came, I stood faithful. And now Paul's in jail, about to be beheaded. And guess what? I'm there too.
Yes.
You see, I started strong, stayed in the storms, because serving God requires steadfast Christian people that don't start and don't stop and stop. They keep on going for the glory of God. Whenever time I read that story or preach that story, I think about, God, don't let me be a Demas. I don't even want to be a John Mark. Though I pastored many John Marks, and I'm thankful. I can think about a lady in my church that left for 10 years. And she sang in our choir, was serving God. And all of a sudden, for a petty thing, left 10 years, went here and there, church hopping all over. I was preaching this particular passage one time. She came back visiting. God got a hold of her heart. And now, she's one of the most faithful Christians you'll find in our church. Loves me like a daddy and serves. Well, she at one time went away and thought I was just the meanest thing that ever happened in life. She came back, and I thank God that runaways can come back because there's a great God in heaven. And when they come back, this organism calls the church ought to receive them, and they can become resourceful in God. But I thank God that in every local church, there's some men, there's some women, there's some boys, there's some girls who act like Luke. And by the way, I believe this. My salvation alone, if God never gave me anything else, and he's given me so many things I'm thankful for, but my salvation alone will keep me serving him from the start through the storms, because he's that kind of a God. The church has a responsibility of evangelizing the world. And God saved people, put them in the local church. And though there are demons, and there will be, as long as there's a church, there will be some people who will worship Christ, witness consistently, courageously, walk, and do all the things. And for some reason, at a certain point in life, they're lured away from the work of God because they love the world. And when you love the world, you'll leave the work. And you'll look for wealth some other place. And sometimes demons just go away and never come back. You know what suffers? The church.
Yes.
The church. You can't have, as I had one time in a missions conference, a man committed to give $300 a week to missions. This was years ago, and that was a lot of money back in there, above tithes and offerings and building fund. And it was a short time after that that he left to work and went looking for something some other place. What he used to do in the church, that was gone. What he gave to the church, that was gone. And God's work suffers when we have renegades. We run away, and God forgives. But there's a gap. If it takes a year, 10 years, we can always come back to the Lord. But the church suffers with their time, talent, and treasure to help reach a world. And then when you get down and out sometimes, or you're flying 35,000 square feet, 1,000 feet in the air, and you start thinking about Demas, and you start thinking about Mark, and then you think about in the church all the Lukes you have, and how they still walk, they still worship, they still witness. Then you say, hallelujah, glory to God, that the work of God goes on. I don't know where you are as a servant of God, but I know one thing, you may be on fire right now serving God, and your prayer ought to be, God, help me never be like Demas. Don't let anything in this world ever cause me to love it more than I love your work. And maybe you say, you know what? I was very resourceful at one time. I went soul winning. I gave and I prayed. I did all. And then I kind of slacked off a little bit because things were a little tougher. And I started finding myself, well, they expect so much out of me or too much out of me. And you drift away just a little bit. Look at Mark. Think about it. Said, Mark came back and God used him. But then every saved person in here, if you're the greatest soul winner in here, the best giver in here, the most consistent in here, you ought to fall on your face before God and said, let me be like Luke. God, you saved me and you guaranteed me heaven, and that alone is worth me giving you my best. I'll have storms, but I started strong, and I want to stay in the storm because I want you to know I'm steadfast, unmovable, because I believe what you gave me is worth serving you till you come back. I want my church to be the best it can be to reach the world, and I don't want to hinder it by being a renegade, a runaway. I want to be reliable. And God, I know I can slip and fall at any time, so I'm praying you'll give me grace and strength to be in my church a steadfast Christian to help my church be what God would have it to be. The question tonight is, what kind of servant are you in the local church? And is your service advancing or hindering the cause of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads in prayer. I want you to understand something. Before Demas ever became a renegade, he was respected servant in the church. He worshiped Christ. He walked consistently. He worked in the church. He witnessed courageously. But then he lost that testimony because he loved the world. That could happen to anybody. John Mark was so resourceful, he held prayer meeting in his house. He went on the first missionary journey, and he did something in his rebellion that the great Apostle Paul didn't want to take him the second time. Somewhere down the line, he got things right and came back, and he was used by God in the ministry. But old Luke, I was just along writing the story, but I heard the call and realized it wasn't just for Paul. It was for me. And I started strong. Went on the journey, got into some storms, but I stuck with it. And now Paul is about to be beheaded. They may get me for just being in here with him. But my Christianity is worth that kind of a sacrifice. I'm going to be steadfast. I don't know where you are tonight, but as we pray, we'll have an invitation in just a moment. And maybe all you need to do is come and say, God, I am resourceful. Keep me that way. I do give. Help me keep giving. God, don't ever let anything take me away from the work of God that I might hinder my church advancing missions around the world. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to pray, and then the invitation will be played. Our Father, we love you. 41 years I've been saved. God, I committed years ago to give you my children, my wife, everything. And I know how the world is, and it's not getting better. I've tried to teach and preach our people how important it is to start strong, stay during the storms, be steadfast. He's worth it. Oh, the church has an awesome responsibility to evangelize the world. I'll never understand why you use people, but you use us. And as a pastor, I've seen too many renegades, too many runaways. But we don't thank you enough for all those reliable ones. In my mind right now, I'm thinking of people who have been there like Jeanette's sister since day one. Some people have been there 30-some years. How they've given through building programs and given sacrificially to missions. Oh, give us more and more servants like Luke. And help those that are serving like Luke not to be lured away by the things of this world. We love you. We thank you for who you are. I pray if there be one here tonight that's never been saved, I pray they'll come and let someone show them how to be saved by the grace of God, to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, and be born again. Now you speak as only you can speak to the hearts of your people. Only you know where your servants are in this local church, where they'll be tomorrow, where they'll be next year. So you speak to hearts as only you can. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.